This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by the Indiana State Knights of Columbus. And now, here's today's program. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello.
And Bridget, you know, we like to start each program with a prayer. And I'm going to read the prayer here today. And I'll bet there's a lot of people that said, will be saying, you know, I used to say that. I haven't said that prayer in a long time. Let's see if I'm right. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side, to light and guard, to rule and guide. Amen.
Amen. Wow, that really does take me back. In fact, they would pray that at Our Lady of Mount Carmel, you know, every, you know, like at the end of the day, actually, and I'd pray that with my kids as well. So
that used to be part of the nighttime prayers at the Ganley household when we were growing up.
So. Yes.
All right. Well, we have an event coming up that we want to remind everybody of. Our golf outing is going really, really well so far. We've got a lot of golfers signed up. We do have room for a few more foursomes or individuals, either way. It's going to be May 23rd at Plum Creek Golf Club in Carmel, and it starts, sign-up is around 10:30 in the morning, and then we have mass, lunch, a shotgun start, an afternoon of golf, and a great dinner, and so it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of prizes. You can sign up now at our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org, CatholicRadioIndy.org. Look in the upper right-hand corner. You'll see a little golf icon there, a little golf button to click, and you can sign up in just a couple of minutes. It's that easy. So, again, golf May 23rd, Plum Creek Golf Club. Love to see you there. Everybody from Catholic Radio will be there. It's going to be a great day of fun and fellowship, and beginning with Mass, of course. So I hope to see you there. Sign up at CatholicRadioIndy.org.
And we could also use some volunteers. We always need volunteers for these events. And where can you volunteer, Jim?
And I'll tell you what, it's not hard work.
It's really fun. Get on a golf court, drive around, you know, golf cart, drive around. It's a good time.
It really is. So if there's a, if you can take off a day of work to do that, even if you're not a golfer, you can spend some time with a lot of folks that are really going to have a great time. And as Bridget said, most of the work is super, super easy. It might be taking pictures of the golfers when they come by a particular hole, or it might be watching a hole to see if anybody gets a hole in one. It's not tough work, but it's fun, and you meet a lot of people. So call us here at the station. We'd be happy to get you signed up for that. Our number is 317-870-8400. 317-870-8400.
Or you can sign up online, CatholicRadioIndy.org. All right. Well, today we are going to be talking about a way to take our spiritual life to the next level by rooting out hidden faults. Boy, we could all use that, right? Who knows how many?
Yes, we all have those.
Yeah, who knows how many are hidden, too? Our guest today is Kristen Van Uden. She is spokesperson for Sophia Institute Press, and they are the ones who have published this book. Kristen, welcome to Faith in Action.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me back.
And Kristen, yeah, tell us quickly about your background. You have an interesting background.
Sure. So I come from an academic background, and then I worked in the export-import industry for a while, but I studied history and Russian in undergrad and grad school, and I'm actually writing a book about that now with Sophia on the Catholics who survived communist oppression and under various regimes throughout the world. So keep an eye peeled for that a ways out, but that'll be coming in the future. And I've been working at Sophia since last year, where I basically get to serve as author spokesperson for all of our wonderful reprints. So all of the authors that are dead, many of them saints in heaven at this point, who are not here to give interviews for their own work, I'm really blessed to be able to synthesize their work into packages via articles or radio interviews and preach the gospel to various audiences, both secular and Catholic.
That's awesome. And I know that, you know, in relating with Sophia Institute Press, that all the materials that I've seen that have come out of there are just really authentically solid Catholic, great content. So we have you back quite a bit, and our authors from Sophia. Well, the book is Rooting Out Hidden Faults. Give us a bit of an overview of the book itself. It talks a little bit about like the examination of conscience too, or a particular exam. We'll get into that. Give us an overview of the book.
Sure. So this book is an examination of conscience that, rather than organizing itself around the Ten Commandments, which is what our typical examinations do, it is organized around the seven deadly sins. So it's called the particular examine because you examine your particular tendencies towards sin. So as Father McElhone states, all of us have a predominant fault. So one of the seven deadly sins is more predominant in our lives and takes hold and is really the root of all of our other sins. And that is very individualized. It's dependent on a whole set of circumstances, such as your background, the ways you've suffered in your life, just your disposition towards certain sins, and the circumstances in which you find yourself. And the point of this book is a pointed questionnaire for each of the seven deadly sins to help you determine what that predominant fault is and therefore target it with specific virtues, chief of all is humility, of course, and make your confessions more deep and something that, you know, when you think of the seven deadly sins, how often do we confess those in confession? We're typically just confessing those very identifiable violations of the Ten Commandments. But the insidious thing about the seven deadly sins is that they can often manifest almost as personality traits. So we think of somebody, oh, he has a temper, oh, he just is lazy, which are actually sins, but they have inculcated themselves so much into your personality, into your daily habits, that they're not even observable as sins anymore. So this book seeks to, as it says, root that out and to not be complacent about these sins anymore, but rather give you weapons in order to target them.
We're talking with Kristen Van Uden. She is spokesperson for Sophia Institute Press, and we're talking about a book called Rooting Out Hidden Faults. And one thing I did watch another interview that you were on. It was a YouTube interview. And one thing you mentioned in there was that there are four types of pride. And pride is kind of like the kind of like where all the sin comes from, right? Kind of. That's like, so what are the four types of pride? I'd never heard of
this. I know. This is something surprising to me because we tend to think of pride as the braggadocious, snobby, arrogant guy who, you know, spends all this money. And we have a very caricatured image of pride in our minds. But to go back to what you said, yes, this is the root of all sins. And pride is the first sin of Satan, obviously. His non-servium, I refuse to serve God, was rooted in his pride and his wish to be God himself and to reign over his own kingdom rather than submit to God. And then, of course, we see this manifested in the first sin of humans as well in the garden. Through their disobedience to God, they are asserting themselves pridefully by placing their will and their desire for knowledge and their decision-making prowess above that of God. So pride, any sin really can be identified as pride because any sin is elevating one's own personal will over the will of God. So with that in mind, there are four particular types of pride that can be, basically, I would say, would cover probably about upwards of half the population's predominant fault. These are definitely very common, and that's why, of course, as we know through theology, pride is the most common sin, but also Father McElhone places it first in this book because it is the most common. So the first type of pride is called pride of authority or superiority, and that is what we think of when we think of the caricature of pride. So somebody who is basically your bona fide snob, so the person who is always, you know, enacting their will and exploiting others and thinks they're better than everybody else. And this is manifested through a variety of ways throughout culture, but especially, you know, people who are bossy, belittle others, are irritable. So this is kind of the typical type of pride that we wouldn't be surprised to hear is pride. The second two are a little bit more surprising. So number two is called pride of timidity. And this one is kind of ironic because it often actually manifests not as an imbalance of self-love, but as an excess of self-hatred. So often somebody who has this type of pride will be really self-conscious, embarrassed all the time, just nervous and has this inverted view of themselves, does not have a lot of self-esteem or self-confidence. And this doesn't seem like pride. It seems like the opposite of pride.
Mm-hmm.
But Father explains that in reality, this is also pretty much an inverted type of pride because it is still a wrongful interpretation of the role of the self within the supernatural order. So it's still motivated by a disordered self-love, but that self-love is a deficit in this type of pride. It is not seeing yourself for who you truly are because of an overbalance of almost self-hatred or disordered self-love.
Mm-hmm.
So the main problem that faces those with this type of pride is an overvaluing of what's called human respect. So that means that this person cares too much about what others think and wants to fit in so badly that they will feel bad all the time and even sometimes lead them to sin or to debase themselves to fit in with the crowd. And that is elevating somebody else over God's will. So that's where it stems from, pride. The third type of pride is very similar to this one, and it's called pride of sensitivity. This also comes from a wounded self-love. So the symptoms of this are similar to pride of timidity in that this person will be distrustful. They are constantly getting hurt and almost hurting themselves. Father McElhone speaks of somebody who makes himself feel bad, almost wants to feel bad and take some sort of false pleasure out of suffering. This is a person who is always, woe is me, moody, carries grudges, and often thinks that everyone is talking about them.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, this seems like, just depression of someone who has been mm-hmm. had a hard time in life or bullied.
Sure.
But
Now does the book help people identify these types of pride that you're talking about? I mean, are these something that a person could have and be kind of exercising that sort of pride, but not realizing they're doing it? And does the book help
Definitely.
Them identify that?
Yes, and he actually gives just a questionnaire. So as with typical examinations of conscience, the best way often to figure out what your sins are to go through those questions and really introspect and examine yourself and your actions. And so for each of these types of pride, and he does this for each of the sins, he gives about 2 to 3 pages of questions. So for the pride of sensitivity, for example, a few examples of that are, do I carry grudges? Am I unable to laugh at myself? Do I misjudge or misinterpret others? To get your mind going on how you interact in the world and how that may not be just a personality trait, that may actually be a manifestation of pride. So the interesting thing, too, is that a question such as, am I distrustful? That's not necessarily a sin in and of itself to be distrustful, right? It may point to this pride that is at the root of your sins, but that itself is not a sin. And this is where I think this examination really takes it to the next level, because you're not just seeking to stay out of mortal sin and to stop actively sinning, but rather you are looking deeply, and these questions aren't to make you feel bad about what these sins are. They're to help you introspect. And that's one of the major differences that I had not seen in an examination before.
I want to get to the last sin of pride before we take a break. So
sure.
What's the last one?
So the final type of pride is called pride of complacency, and that is also known as vanity. So this is the type of pride that's very outward facing, but it's similar to the first type of pride, the pride of superiority, in that it's not inverted. This person does not feel bad about themselves. Rather, they are bragging constantly. And the main thing that this type of prideful person values is the admiration of others. So we'll often see this is the type of person who likes to perform on social media, always has to be the center of attention, does things just for the shock value sometimes, and really values attention from others. So also valuing human respect above that of God, and valuing the aggrandizement of the self above that of God.
Interesting. Well, this we just got to do a little quick examination of conscience of the four types of pride. So thank you very much, Kristen.
I know.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about how we can root out these hidden faults. So stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy has a new look. It's our website. Yes, we have a new website that makes everything about Catholic Radio Indy easier. It's clean, straightforward, and simple to use. You can listen to us live, see our schedule, and our map. You can even silence your phone and take it right into Mass to follow the daily readings. And don't forget, you can get all of our programming through the podcast tab. This makes everything so much easier. So just go to CatholicRadioIndy.org and check us out.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley and I are in the studio, and we're talking with our guest, Kristen Van Uden. She is author. She's a spokesperson for Sophia Institute Press, and soon to be an author because you're working on that book of how Catholics were, persecuted by communism. So that'll be interesting.
Now, Kristen, we're talking about a book, Rooting Out Hidden Faults, and you were talking about examining your conscience and things like that. But for the benefit of our listeners, are we talking about a little pamphlet that you take into church with you and breeze through before you go into the confessional? Or are we talking about a big book that you take home and read over a period of time? Or what kind of a book are we talking about?
Sure. This book is really usable. That's one of the things I noticed. It's less than 200 pages, and it's something that I have been marking up. So definitely, if you're the type of person who likes to write in books, which I definitely am, even sometimes you draw the line with like really antique card covers, but this is a paperback book, and I would personally recommend marking it up. So you can take this definitely with you before you go to confession, even into the confessional, and go through these questions. Make notes. Circle the ones that apply to you. Put little check marks next to them, and then if you've worked on them and no longer deal with them anymore, maybe color code it. So this is a usable, almost use it as a workbook.
And then
written for introspection, but definitely something hands-on.
Yeah, I was going to suggest color coding, you know, one color for you and one color for your spouse. This is me, this is them. No? Okay.
I was just
they always say don't confess your spouse's sins. You've got yours in the right hands, and then
that's hilarious. And I was also saying, like, yeah, if I write in there, I'm going to have to hide the book, you know. So I got to keep my faults hidden, right? So,
sorry, don't put your name in it. But.
So, yeah, that's so funny. So the sins are the cardinal sins. Is that what they are? Is that what they're called? Or
so the sins are the seven deadly sins.
Seven deadly
sins. And the antidotes are the cardinal virtues.
Okay. And then, so I want to get into some, well, first of all, that was a great question, Jim, about the length or the size of the book. But who would you say the book is geared towards? Like, what age group? And do you need to be Catholic, do you think?
I think people can start using this book about the time they make their confirmation, or if not earlier. Parents can definitely adapt some of these questionnaires for their kids, but I would say around the age of confirmation, especially as you're starting to take the faith more seriously and move beyond just avoiding mortal sins, and then all the way through the rest of your life, really. The book was originally written for an audience of seminarians, actually. Mm. So just a little background on the author, Father McElhone. He was a Holy Cross priest, so he lived from 1890 through 1963, and he actually worked at the University of Notre Dame in Indiana. So he taught there at the Holy Cross Seminary, and of course the charism of the Holy Cross Fathers is teaching. So he was involved with teaching, obviously, seminarians, but also lay people who would come to the university later on as it opened up. So he had this experience as a leader, not only as a spiritual director for future priests, but also just as a mentor. He was a baseball coach there. So he originally wrote this for his spiritual directees who were discerning the priesthood. But what we have done at Sophia with the reprint is really adapt it more for a lay audience. So some of the questions in the examine will be things that are clearly more applicable to seminarians or religious. So something like, am I proud about my prayer, or do I elevate myself in prayer above others? But really, they're applicable to anyone in any state of life. And it makes the book very usable for married people, lay people, single people, and even still religious and priests, I think, could gain great graces through using this. So you can also personalize this. You can use this as a jumping board to add other questions as you start to understand the nature of the sins and the virtues more as a first thing. You can just use this more of a, as of a roadmap. But I definitely think it's one of those rare books that can appeal to everybody.
Yeah, and I think who doesn't like a checklist about, you know, am I this or am I that or whatever, you know? So, I mean, this one might be a little bit more uncomfortable, but, you know, it's good to, how else are you going to recognize what you need to work on unless your spouse tells you, right, Jim? or Jim, you tell me. But, you know, yeah. So let's talk about some of the solutions. We've got about, you know, six minutes left or so. Talk about the anecdote or the remedy of these sins once we figure out what they are.
So the main antidote to all of these sins is humility. So just as pride is the chief of the seven deadly sins, humility is the king of the virtues. So this is the virtue that Christ himself embraced throughout his life all the way up until the moment of his death, which is the most humble act that one can think of, is God himself deigning to die on the cross, the death of a criminal when he was innocent. So humility has this theological rooting as the best virtue, and you can't go wrong if you focus on humility. As Father McElhone discusses, all the other virtues will come if you keep humility at the center. So he uses the cardinal virtues. So afterward, after each examination of conscience, he gives a little antidote or a little solution for each particular sin. So, for example, within the chapter about sloth, he talks about overcoming sloth through prudence, zeal, and perfection in prayer, and just obviously things that one would think of keeping to a schedule, a routine of prayer, not letting yourself be distracted. So very practical tips along with the name of the virtue that actually helps you to combat this. And the second half of the book is more a general discussion of virtues. So there's only so much you can do with, once you've determined your sin, combating that sin particularly. Mm-hmm. But something that he, again, emphasizes is that focusing on the virtues will cover a whole multitude of sins. Mm-hmm. So regardless of what your predominant fault is, if you decide to grow in virtue, then those faults will shrink on mm-hmm. their own. And you don't have to constantly be saying, oh, should I practice hope or love today? Which one is better suited to my disposition? No, just go ahead and practice both of them. Mm-hmm. He also places a lot of importance on charity. So, of course, faith, hope, and charity, the most important of these is charity or love, as our Lord says. And I think one of the most interesting practical tips is that against pride especially, charity often in practice looks a lot like empathy. So that is kind of the first step towards having the love that God mm-hmm. ordered us to have, love your neighbor as yourself mm-hmm. as I have loved you, is identifying with the other person, finding common ground with somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Now, this sounds like primarily maybe what you might call a self-help book, but would it be something that would be appropriate for a parent to read and kind of maybe use as a guide in raising children as well?
Definitely. I think there's no harm done in introspecting at any point in your life, and especially for parents who have this very important God-given role of modeling the virtues for their children, modeling a Christian marriage especially. Your children will not often remember what you say, but they'll remember what you do and how you act. And so there's nothing better than having this knowledge of the virtues, but then also putting it into practice. And this is where this book brings the two of them together. It'll give you all of the theological knowledge about sins and virtues, but also these practical tips of how to actually live that out. And so if you can take that, then really root it in your heart and in your soul, then you will have, this book will have done its job.
I got to ask you, we've got a couple minutes left. Where can people get a copy of the book? And I'll ask you that a couple times, but
Sure. It's available at our website, sophiainstitute.com. You'll probably see it on the homepage if you click on new releases. It's been released in the last couple months, and it's also on Amazon.
Yeah, it's called Rooting Out Hidden Faults. I want to ask you, obviously this book was written before digital media came on the scene, and I'm curious, you know, since you've read the book, would you say that overuse in digital media is in the sloth category, or is it in what category do you think it is? Because I'm curious. I mean, what would be your perspective on that? And maybe there isn't a right answer on that, but it could probably fall into a lot of different categories. But anyone that jump out?
I think you're right. It would definitely fall within sloth because we waste so much time on social media, and we convince ourselves that the rabbit holes are worth our attention, but sometimes they're not. Also gluttony, because gluttony isn't just about food. It's about satiating, like, your curiosity and your boredom with, so, like, watching too much TV can be considered gluttony, and the internet definitely the same. And then also that pride of vanity, too, with social media and showing off and envy. So really all of them.
So what did you take away from the book when you read it?
What I took away is just how nuanced sin can be, and how often when you think you have a problem, when you think you have a psychological, when something that you're dealing with is psychological, oftentimes it is, but just like discerning as exorcists do between demonic influence and a purely psychological biological problem, there is always this element of the devil utilizing these predispositions that you have to lead you away from God. So something that people can examine their own personalities and maybe realize how the devil has been trying to exploit their certain traits and get them to latch on to one of these deadly sins can really help you to understand your own soul more, and then really to let go of those more negative aspects that may have been plaguing you for a long time. So I think it's a great relief to read this book because you can get an idea of how sin really, you know, to go back to the title, takes root in your soul, but also because it is sin and because it's not something deterministic that you're stuck with forever, you can get rid of it, you can root it out, and you can get better. And that is a really positive message.
So there's hope, and that's great news for everyone listening and for us as well. Our guest today has been Kristen Van Uden, spokesperson for Sophia Institute Press. We've been talking about Rooting Out Hidden Faults. Great book to get your act together, and you can get that at sophiainstitute.com. Thanks so much, Kristen, for being our guest today.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. This program is underwritten in part by the Indiana State Knights of Columbus. If you have suggestions for topics or guests for this program, contact Bridget at CatholicRadioIndy.org. That's BRIGID at CatholicRadioIndy.org, or call us at 317-870-8400.